How do you interpret the results so far?
It's a little early. I am gratified at some of the gains that we have made. I'd have liked more. I'm disappointed at some that we haven't. I've been in most of the constituencies we've gained in the last three or four weeks, and I felt that, you know, it was beginning to happen. I think the only one I've been in which we haven't gained was in Ford country.
Is it uncertain, do you think, whether you're going to have an overall majority, or do you think you will have?
I'll leave that to the pundits. I'll leave that to pundits. I don't pretend, I have no pretensions to punditry. They're usually wrong. I think we could have an overall majority, even if we just missed it. I think that it could provide a period of parliamentary stability. I cannot see all the third and fourth and fifth and splinter parties uniting in a kind of opposition coalition of nationalist unity.
Unholy alliances, you
I have used that phrase, yes. Yes. I can't see them uniting in that to provoke a third election. We shall carry out our program, our manifesto. We shall give priority, of course, to putting on the statute book all the things that we have said, like public ownership of land, legislation against discrimination against women.
Will some of those things receive greater emphasis than others?
Well, you better wait for the Queen's speech, which my colleagues and I will be meeting to prepare the Queen's speech for the new Parliament as early as possible, after we've had a good weekend's sleep.
Do you think it's a wise result from the British public? I mean, they seem to have wanted majority government. Is it a wise result in that they've given you a very small majority, which might be an indication that they would wish you to steer a middle course?
There is no one in British history with more experience of small majorities than myself. I'd have liked a bigger one, of course. But assuming that we have a workable parliamentary position, I think this is what the country wants.
But there was a lot of speculation that a large majority would produce quite a different kind of government. I mean,
Not at all. What we believe to be right, what we said in our manifesto, we shall do. I'm not at all. There's a kind of silly theory that I would like a small majority rather than a large one. I prefer a large one. I can cope with it. I know there'll be more difficulties and troubles. But I'm used to that.
You said only a few months ago, when you went back into Downing Street the morning after, that we've got a job to do, and it can only be done as one people. Now, you were making noises of moderation and restraint here tonight, when we heard you earlier at the declaration of the poll. Can you give us an idea of what it is you essentially want to say to
the British people now? Yes, thank you. I've always believed that we can only do it as one people working together. Not merely working together to get the exports and everything we need, but ready to make sacrifices for the people within our community who are the hardest hit because they can't help themselves. I said that then, I meant it. I believe we have begun to work as one people. An election is a rather special period, which is inevitably politically divisive. But I take, I think, a certain degree of satisfaction, and I'm sure other party leaders do too, that while we've disagreed fundamentally, and that's what democracy is about, on how to tackle the crisis, who are the right people, what are the right policies, we all agree on the dimensions of the national crisis. And I think the country wants us, or would have wanted any other government, to get on with the job without the uncertainty that we've had for the last 6 months that there might be another election around the corner.
But on that very point, there was something in the manifesto which aroused a good deal of comment when one of the sentences in it said that there was no meeting point in differing philosophies. That was in the Labour manifesto, and I think a lot of people interpreted that as a kind of them and us situation.
A lot of people used it. I don't know whether they interpreted it rightly or not. I think what it meant, and it really is the answer to this, all this talk about people coming from different parties or the ragtag and bobtail approach to the so-called government of national unity, I think it was really an answer to that. But I believe that within the national community, as opposed to the Westminster political hothouse, there's a great desire to work together. I spend a lot of time with industrialists. I always have. I've always been more interested in industry than finance. I try to understand finance. Conservatives are more finance-minded, though I've spent a lot of time meeting with people in the city in the last 7 months. And I believe there is a great desire in management and in unions and in people who are doing essential community services to work together for the nation. And I think whatever government had come in as a result of this election would have had the duty to mobilize that, to release the energies of people, but also to steer them into channels of national unity. That's what I'm going to concentrate on now. And I think the statement I made to the Times newspaper, which they featured rather even larger than I thought what I said deserved, was an indication of what I have in mind.
Just a couple of days before the election, I think the CBI put out a statement saying the social contract was only with the trade unions, not with the management side
of industry.
Well,
that's not true. You know, when I went to Downing Street last March, the first thing I said when I got through those portals was to say, I want to see the TUC tomorrow at 12 o'clock, if that's convenient to them, and the CBI at 2:30, if that's convenient to them. And I did. And I want to get down, not only through NEDI, which I chair from time to time, but by direct talks with them to see what we can do together to pull the country through.
What do you think's been the Trump issue in
not only the CBI, may I say. They represent certain people. There are very many other people on what one might call the management side that I think have got to be brought into this national effort.
What do you mean by that? You mean you want to expand it? And I mean, it sounds rather like the sort of thing Mr. Heath was talking about, bringing in people from outside.
No, I'm not talking about that. I believe in having elected people in the government, in the main. But, no, what I mean is that, for example, there are small businesses. Now, the CBI does speak for small business, I know that, and from time to time, the small businesses take charge over the larger businesses. But Harold Lever's been giving a lot of thought and said something in the election, it wasn't much reported, about a desire to try, and Tony Benn has said it. Tony Benn's a great believer in small businesses, despite the legend about him, to try and see what we can do to help small businesses. There is a problem, not only the liquidity cash flow problem, there is a problem. We want to, well, to use the phrase I've used, they're useful people.
Frank Lawn said earlier tonight, the declaration of his poll, that he thought the common market was the Trump issue for you. Do you think it was?
Who can say? I don't think it was the main issue in the election. It was an important one. We have said the people will have the final right of decision, which indeed Mr. Heath had promised in 1970, and we shall ensure that they do. I think it's an important issue, and I think it's been a cross-party issue. My own party is divided on this. I make no bones about it. The Conservatives are divided, though their cabinet, unfortunately, was not representative of the whole party, although the Conservative voters, the Liberals are divided. Many anti-marketeers have voted Liberal because they found it a way of expressing themselves on the market, and the country is divided.
Do you think the country really must decide?
Oh, yes, fundamentally, very much so. Very much.
And the last poll I saw showed 54% in favour, provided you could get satisfactory terms, which I know you've always maintained as your objective.
I'm glad you say that, you know, because
you think it's worse than that?
For about 3 years, I was totally traduced for even saying the terms were important. You just look back at the articles in the Times and all the other papers to say that I was the biggest swine who ever lived for saying that the terms matter. Now, a majority of the country agrees with me. I feel mildly reassured about that. And that's why the renegotiations are so important.
But do you think the country really is as divided as it was? I mean, would you say there is a majority for entry if the terms were all right?
That's what the country will decide.
What do you think? Give them a chance.
Well, it depends on the renegotiations. And we are pursuing them with great vigour. The common market has become a shambles. That's admitted across the Channel as well as here. We've been fighting for British interests on the question of beef mountains and all that.
But the objective is still to go in. I mean, if people ask you, where's the nation going?
The objective is to make a success of the renegotiations. But we have put very tough terms on the table for renegotiation. I wouldn't like to forecast the outcome.
Can we spend the last couple of minutes? People, I'm sure, want to know from you, now the election is over or almost over.
I wouldn't say that. There's a lot of results to come, you know.
How bad are things in Britain? I mean,
bad.
Can you be a little more venturesome than you've been?
Well, it is the gravest economic crisis, the gravest national crisis since the war. In terms of the threat of unemployment, which I have stressed rather a lot in this election, it is, in a sense, the gravest we've faced since 1931. I believe things have improved somewhat. We've got more of a control on the situation. I don't just mean the government, I mean the country. Since March, this crisis was endemic and upon us a year ago, even before oil began to hit us, even before the fighting in the Middle East. I think on trade, payments, exports, we have made great progress. We've halved the deficit, if you exclude the oil factor, and no country, or hardly any country, can hope to deal with that. Unemployment, the rise in unemployment, we were told, was going to be catastrophic. That is moderating a little. The cost of living problem. It's still a serious problem. It's still worsening, but it is, that's also being moderated partly as a result of actions the government have taken. We have about half the rise in it, and that's reason for hope. It's reason for proving that Britain can do it. And contrary to all the gloom and doom we hear in the city and we've heard in the election, we can do it, but it's going to be a hell of a job.
For how long?
I'd have said 2 years and a bit more.
What, not three, 2.5?
Well, I don't want to forecast. I think it's going to be very, very hard slogging for a couple of years, and I have not disguised that from the people in this election or in the last election.
Mr. Wilson, thank you.